I want you to listen to a great Greek scholar, D.A. Carson. He says this, God's wrath is a secondary attribute. It's not his nature. His wrath is the required response of a holy God to sin, no matter what kind of sin it is.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. We are delighted to have you tuning in today for Pastor Bill's continuing study of the book of Revelation. Today, Pastor concludes the message, "The day of God's wrath has come." Now, Pastor Bill.
And now, in verse 9, God's wrath is getting ready to be poured out. It has arrived, the great tribulation period. Let me give you the prophet Zephaniah, chapter 1, verse 14, what he says about this day. He says, "The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. There are mighty men, and they're going to cry out. That day is a day of wrath." Say that word, wrath. Wrath, a day of trouble, distress, a day of devastation, desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. That's the wrath that's coming. Now look at verse 9. And when Jesus opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls, are literally the lives, of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now, they're martyrs. They're with the Lord. It's very clear. Listen, when you die, 2 Corinthians 5:8, when we pass, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, loved ones. So they're there with the Lord. And look what they were doing. It says, and they cried out with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" So those who took their lives, this is the great tribulation period, those who took their lives are still alive at that moment, that in time, still alive on earth during the period of time right then, the ones that killed them, murdered them. And he says, how long are you going to wait? You see, vengeance belongs to God, doesn't it? It doesn't belong to us. So the fifth seal judgment is the cry of the martyrs in heaven. And it says that their souls or their lives, they're underneath the altar. Now, this is not the church. And there are those that say, well, this is the church martyrs, Christians martyrs of all time. No, I don't believe it is. And the reason I say that, the church is in heaven. Okay? And matter of fact, did Jesus give us a promise in Revelation 3:10 that he would keep us from the hour of trial that was to come upon the whole earth? Keep us from, keep us out of, will not go through it. Yes, he did. Now, those who teach that believers will go through the great tribulation period and be protected, this proves them wrong. Are you there? That just proved them wrong. I mean, that's not much protection. Okay, so these are tribulation believers. They're martyrs, if you will. They were slain during the great tribulation. We'll see the same thing and understand more when we get into Revelation chapter 7. Now, when it says under the altar, that speaks of, remember Leviticus chapter 4, verse 7, I think it was. The priest, what did they do with the blood? They would pour it down by the altar, under the altar area. So that's a picture of them being slain, giving their life to the Lord. Now, this means that people during the great tribulation period, I'm asked this question all the time, it means they're going to be saved. People are going to get saved in the great tribulation period. Amen? Yeah. And so forth. They're tribulation believers or tribulation saints. How is that going to happen? Well, we'll see next Sunday, the Lord willing. But Jesus tells us in Matthew 24:14, Jesus said, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come." How many people have you heard preach, we've got to get the word out, we've got to get the gospel out to all of the world because Jesus can't come until that happens? Well, that's not what Jesus is saying here. Okay, he's telling us it has to be done, and Jesus can't lie. Amen? So what is he talking about? Well, when we get over to chapter 7, we're going to find out that there's 144 Jewish evangelists from every tribe of Israel, and they are going to go all over the world. So maybe the tribulation saints, the people that got saved there, they were witnessed to by them, or God in his grace is so merciful, he also does something else. Let me read it to you in Revelation 14:6. And John says, I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, and listen to what this angel was doing now, having the everlasting gospel, and listen to what he did, to preach to those who dwell on the earth, every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every people, saying with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. And he says, worship him who made heaven and earth. In other words, repent and get saved. Amen? And so thank God for that. And you know what's going to happen? Those people that you're sharing now, let's say the rapture occurred today. Those that are left behind, your loved ones that are not saved, my loved ones that are not saved, and that we've told them over and over, listen, about what's coming and that the church is going to be removed. They're going to remember that. When we're gone, believe me, they're going to say, oh my gosh, they were right. And maybe some of those, see, will be saved in the tribulation period. Amen? However, it's going to be difficult. And the reason is because God is going to send them strong delusion that they believe the lie when the church is gone. Remember? Boy, it's going to be bad. Look at verse 10 now. And they cried out, saying again, how long, O Lord? Holy and true, will you avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth, those who took those lives? And then a white robe symbolized righteousness. Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest, or literally rest, just take a rest, or rest oneself a little while longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. Now, you're going to find that, and I'll give you the scripture. It's Revelation chapter 7, verses 13 through 17, I believe. And that's talking about the tribulation saints that are going to give their lives for the Lord. And then I looked in verse 12, and he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. The moon became like blood. You know what's interesting about the sun and the moon? If you go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, one was created, yes, to rule the night, the other to rule the day. But God's word says they were created for signs. Isn't that interesting? And that is a sign that's coming in the great tribulation period. Now, I want you to listen to these events, if you will, predicted by Isaiah and Joel 2,500 years ago about what we're talking about this morning. Isaiah 13:13 says, I will shake the heavens, meaning God says that, and the earth will be moved out of its place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. Joel 2:31, the sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. Look at verse 13. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth, as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. The word star in the Greek is asatera. And it literally, over in Revelation chapter 8, verse 12, it's more like asteroids, if you will. Although in Matthew 2:2, remember when the wise men followed the star? That's the same word used there. So it's a supernatural happening, if you will. In verse 14, this is incredible. Don't miss this. Then the sky receded as a scroll. Now listen, the word receded there, it means literally to split apart, okay? So the sky was split apart as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. Isaiah chapter 34, I think it is verse 4, says that the heavens will be rolled up like a scroll as well. So the sixth judgment seal, loved one, is worldwide universal catastrophe. the day of God's wrath. Oh, man, I'm telling you, it has begun, and it's the wrath of the Lamb. So everything can be shaken, is going to be shaken. Things that are so familiar, they're just going to be gone. Why? Because the Bible teaches that by Him, Jesus, all things consist. Meaning the word consist means, in Greek, means to be held together. Jesus holds the entire universe, everything together. Amen? Yes. By the word of His power. When He starts releasing it, this universe is going to start falling apart. But here's the thing I want you to really see. God's incredible love and grace, okay? And that is, why did the sky recede or split apart, if you will, like a scroll? I mean, why does God do that? Why was there an opening like that? Like in the days of Stephen, when Stephen looked up and he saw heavens open and he saw Jesus standing, remember? And you say, why does God do that? I mean, He opened heaven just for 1 second, just for everybody on earth. Why did He do that? So they could see something. So they could see what, Bill? So all of people on earth could see the true cause, the true source of why all of this was coming upon the earth. Who was in control? Amen? Okay? And how do you know that? Look at verse 15. They're seeing it. Watch this. They're seeing that split in the heavens. The kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, meaning the military, the mighty men, that's talking about captains of industry, okay? The mighty men, every slave, every free man, look what they did. They hid themselves in the caves, in the rocks of the mountains, and they said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us. In other words, just kill us, fall on us, and watch, hide us from the face of Him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. They saw God on the throne. Are you hearing me? They saw Jesus. Or God in His grace did that. But look what happened. The reason they said hide us and all that, for the great day of His wrath, God's wrath has come. And who is able to stand? We know the answer. No one. But we'll learn next Sunday, the Lord willing, only those God has sealed are the ones that are going to be able to be protected. So in these verses, every class of society, loved one, man, listen, they're going to be filled with terror. The entire population on earth, they're in horror. Jesus said in Luke's Gospel 21, He said that men's heart would be failing them. They'd have heart attacks because of the fear that's coming upon this planet. So the martyrs, they were crying out in heaven, avenge us. And the people on the planet, they were saying, man, hide us. Why didn't they say save us? You'll notice as we go through the book of Revelation, they don't repent. These are unrepentant. Even though God in His grace opened heaven and they saw into heaven, they said no, they did not repent. They'd rather run from Jesus and hide from Jesus than come to Jesus. Now I want you to listen very carefully. Those who say, and there are many today, because they're not taught. Those who say that, oh God, He's too loving to do this. God is too loving to judge those. He created everybody just because they don't know Jesus. God, He would never, never do that, you know? And those are the same ones who say, well, the God of the Old Covenant or the Old Testament, He's mean, but the God of the New Testament, He changed. He's nice, you know? No, the book of Revelation says otherwise. Amen? God is the same. The Old Testament God's the same as the New Testament God. God doesn't change. Amen? All right. Now, so I want to just clear something up now, because we're going to be studying this as we go through the book of Revelation, and that is the wrath of God. So when we talk about the wrath of God, what is that? What is the wrath of God? Well, it is His, yes, it's a feeling, God's feeling. It's God's emotion, but it's His utter abhorrence of anything that is sinful. Does that make sense? Of whatever it is. So the wrath of God is not like us. You know how you ever lose your temper? Okay. The wrath of God is, he just couldn't take it anymore. He lost his temper. That's not wrath of God. Number one, God is love. That's who He is. God is completely love. That is nature. God is not a God of wrath. I want you to listen to a great Greek scholar that I really respect, D.A. Carson. He says this, God's wrath is a secondary attribute. It's not his nature. His wrath is the required response of a holy God to sin, no matter what kind of sin it is, any form of ungodliness. Read Romans chapter 1 and you'll understand more about the wrath of God. So how do we get saved? Listen carefully, Romans 5, 9. Much more then, having now been justified by Jesus' blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. See, God is love, yes. This is his creation. This is his world, all right? He made it. He formed it. Now, he hates sin so deeply, he sent his own son who willingly came to take our place on the cross, amen? And also take the punishment of God's wrath. It had to be paid for because God is just and holy. Amen? And Jesus paid it all, loved one. The problem today with so many people in the church is the church knows all about John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him not perish, have everlasting life. But they don't know about John 3:36. Let me read it to you. It says, Jesus said, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life. Here it comes. But the wrath of God abides on him. What did Jesus just say? If you don't come to me, I came to deliver you from the wrath of God. I came to pay the penalty of your sin. Amen? Jesus is saying here, if you don't believe, don't you know? What a warning to all of the world, how God is so good to us. He's saying, listen, man, Adam blew it, and I want you back, but you got to come to Christ, the second Adam, amen? And he says, listen, if you don't believe right now, if you're an unbeliever, you're listening on the radio, whatever, whoever you are, man, listen to me. God's wrath is resting upon you right now. You have absolutely no protection. God is warning every unbeliever, and he's doing it now before the great tribulation. And he's warning the world, and that means something. It means that we are all without excuse. The Bible tells us that we'll not escape. No one will escape the judgment of God. Listen to Romans 2:4. Or do you despise the riches of God's goodness? The word despise means you look down your nose upon it or think lightly of it. Do you despise the riches of his goodness or God's forbearance? That's where he keeps holding and waiting. God wants everyone to be saved. Or his long-suffering and not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. Now listen to what Paul says. But in accordance with the hardness and your impenitent heart, your unrepentant heart. Listen to what's happening to those that don't know Christ. Is you are treasuring or storing up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath. That's the judgment seat, the great white throne judgment seat, loved one, for the lost people. And revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds or his works. You know, the great day of his wrath is going to come. The Bible is so true, loved one. Listen to what the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 13, 6 and following. He says to the people of this planet, wail, for the day of the Lord is at hand. He will come as destruction from Almighty. Every person's hands will be limp. Every person's heart will melt. He goes on and he says, behold, the day of the Lord comes. It's cruel. It's filled with wrath and fierce anger to lay the land, meaning the whole earth, desolate. And he will destroy its sinners from it. And then God says, I will punish the world for its evil. I don't want to live for this world. This world is passing away. Here we are saved. Man, I tell you, I don't know how you feel. You know, it's like I told my wife the other day, I said, this message has a profound effect upon me. I know this is coming. I believe God's word. Man, I want to tell people, listen, I want to tell everyone, Jesus is warning you. He's coming to the ark. Amen? There's destruction that's coming upon this planet, and we're the church. We're the ambassadors of Christ. We're the salt. Man, listen, we're the light. We need to be doing something, not just sitting on our blessed assurance. Amen? Oh, come on. I can say that to the early service. You love me. No, the world's going to cry out. And if you don't know Christ, you're going to cry out one day too. You're going to cry out and you're going to say, oh, to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us. Hide me from the face of him who sits upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the day of God's wrath has come. And who is able to stand? On that day, no one. Boy, I tell you, we're the church of the living God. And there is only one rock I want to follow me, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. That's right. And man, I don't want any other rock. You know, oh, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Amen. And that's what we want to do. There's only one way for, and the whole planet is being warned. We have to warn them. We have to warn this city, every city. On the radio, all that we do, you can escape God's wrath. God has provided the way. He doesn't want to pour out wrath on anyone. And the only escape is Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. What does it say? We are to wait for his Son, God's Son, from heaven, who God raised from the dead, even Jesus Christ, here it comes, who saves us, who delivers us, who rescues us from the wrath to come. Amen. Amen. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for your word. Oh, it's, Lord, I know it's a tough word, but it's a true word. We need to hear it. Every church needs to hear it. Oh, the world needs to hear it. Oh, God, light a fire here. Light a fire. Do something, do any, whatever is necessary, Lord, that Jesus would be exalted and that every person would become an ambassador, a soul winner in their families, with their friends, whoever it might be, Lord, to this world. We don't want anyone to go through the wrath of God. We want everyone to be delivered from the wrath of God. And Father, as the people this morning, our heads are all bowed and no one looking around, maybe, you know what? Maybe you're playing church. Maybe you're not, or maybe you're not even a Christian. Maybe you've never asked Jesus to even be the Lord of your life. Maybe you're visiting or just checking out churches. If that's you, man, you need to come to Christ while the age of grace is still happening. You need to come to him now. He loves you. He wants to save you from what's coming upon this planet. And the only way he can save you is if you ask him to do so. How do you do that? As our heads are bowed, no one looking around. If that's you, don't come to the altar, but lift your hand and say, Bill, I want Jesus. I want to be saved. I want to know that I'm saved. Anyone here this morning at all said, that is me. Just lift it high, put it right back down. I want to make sure before I leave, man. Anyone, quickly. Lord, I guess everyone here is saved, and I thank you for that. Now, Lord, if we're saved, then use us. Use this place that you've given us called Calvary. Use this campus. Use every person. Use every gift you've put into these, your sheep of your pastor. Ignite their gift. Let them use it in the area that you've put them to be in, Lord. Let us move on this first day of February into the rest of the year with the fire of the Spirit of God. And we love you for that. And we praise you for that. Lord, would you touch your people right now? There are those that are, Lord, they're hurting. I know they are. Some of them are hurting, God. Their marriages are hurting. There are things that they're doing that no one knows about. It's hurting. It's breaking their hearts. Oh, God, please rush into them right now and manifest your love and assurance all over again, that you'll never leave them, that you'll never forsake them, and that you can heal them of anything. We ask. We believe it. In the greatest name in the universe. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And the church says, Amen.
Pastor Bill's study of Revelation continues on Love Never Fails tomorrow. And we do hope you'll tune in once again. My name is Brian Whitaker. On behalf of Pastor Bill, thank you for listening today. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.